Welcome to CBSSports.com basketball podcast, otherwise known as the Pick and Troll podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. I am fresh off a evening with Public Enemy. Went and saw them last night. Matt Moore, you did not see Public Enemy, but you saw something good.
Yeah, I went and saw Skyfall, which everyone's like, oh, good job. It's like a month later, but I didn't get a chance to see it yet, so I was very excited to finally catch Bond, and it was nice because, you know, I didn't feel bad about being late, because it's really weird because people may know this, it's kind of funny, it's like, oh, I get really nervous in social situations, ha ha ha, and then if you know, like, I actually suffer with anxiety disorder, so it's like, no, seriously, like, it's a big deal, I try not to make a thing out of it, but, like, my wife gets driven nuts by the fact I can't be late for movies, ever,
yeah.
Like, I can't deal with the stress of coming into a movie late when everyone's like, dude, come. Why are you walking? Come on, we all got here on time because it's how I am.
Right.
I'm like the most judgmental jerk when it comes to that stuff. I'm just like, I got here on time. Why can't you be here on time? But after I had a kid, I'm perpetually late for everything.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to like hustle down to get to this movie, and I get there like 10 minutes late. It was great though because there was nobody in the theater, and so I sat down just as the lion for the preview shows up, the opening credits shows up. Like, sat down, and the movie began right away. I was like, this is awesome.
That's good timing.
So I love previews, but that was pretty cool. I need to see that one. I'm trying to think, there's a couple, I haven't seen Lincoln yet, I need to catch that one, but everything on my list is, like, clear until really Zero Dark Thirty is the next one I'm incredibly excited about.
Yeah, that's the thing about, I used to be a guy that really loved going to movies and I wanted to see stuff as soon as it came out, and then I just stopped caring, and that's probably just, you know, I've stopped caring about society in general, so that's mainly my problem, but I don't like going to a crowded movie theater. I prefer to see a movie a month or 2 months later once the crowd is dispersed and it's gotten to the point where people are like, oh my God, you haven't seen this movie. Like, I just saw The Dark Knight Rises last week. Like, that was the first time I watched it. And people were, like, angry at me about that. But I can't, and it's not even an anxiety thing. It's just an intolerance thing. I just have no patience for, for really anybody. And so I just don't like going to movies if there's going to be a lot of people there.
I can't deal with the randomness that comes with opening night because I feel like the worst people, like, the hardcore people show up. They're, like, the fans. If it's, like, a big film, like Dark Knight Rises, like, all the geeks come out.
Right.
I'm one of them, so I'm not judging, but...
Which is fine. I just, like, I don't want to be in a movie theater situation where something happens and people clap.
Yeah.
And then I miss a line of dialogue. Like, it's probably a throwaway line anyway, but I just... That really bothers me.
See, for me, it's more of... It's talking during it, specifically to the film.
Yeah.
And then what I actually really hate is when it's that medium level where the theater's not packed, but it's just kind of a mid-range, like your normal kind of average movie audience, and you sit somewhere that's clearly, like, you clearly designed it to where you want to be away from people, and then the dudes either sit right in front of you, right behind you, or right next to you.
Yeah, and that's when I'll just move.
And there's like an entire theater, and I'm always like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, how could you, ah.
And I've even gotten into it with someone before where, like, they sat down, and I just got up and moved. And they're like, what, you, like, I can't sit by you? I'm like, you can sit wherever you want. I just don't want to sit by you.
I understand that. Like, having room is really important.
Yeah.
You know who had lots of room last night?
The Knicks shooters. Good God. They took 44 three-pointers in the game.
That sounds high.
That's happened in a regulation game 7 times in NBA history. 9 times overall. One of those was an overtime game between the Lakers and the Wizards, and another was a triple overtime game between the Knicks and the Suns.
Shooter's gonna shoot. You know, it's crazy because they're 35.7% of all of their field goal attempts are three-pointers right now.
Yeah, they are chucking.
And I'm one that usually typically says that three-pointers are a good thing. Like, I think Magic's offense, you know, from 2007 to 2011 really was pretty good. That they, you know, Stan Van Gundy designed a good system where it worked inside out, and they provided a lot of room for shooters, and they had good ball rotations, and it's a high efficiency shot, right? Like,
yeah.
Open three pointer, especially from the corner, that's a high efficiency shot.
It's worth more.
Are you? It is worth more.
It looks
a point more.
It looks pretty.
It does look pretty, especially when Steve Novak does it, and then she does the belt.
That was great.
Do you worry about them becoming too reliant on it?
Here's the thing that I actually like about this strategy is, one, they have shooters, which is always important for teams that take a lot of threes, is they have shooters. So why not utilize those shooters? So I'm fine with that. And you know how I've kind of come around on the whole Nick Young thing, like the year of the gunner, and he doesn't – like if you're featuring him in the offense for 40 minutes a game, I don't like that. But if he's a gunner off the bench who's just coming in to light things up if he's on fire, I like that that role, and that's kind of what this team does. And the thing I like about it is Nick Young, yeah, he doesn't pass. He just shoots all the time, but he also never turns the ball over. And we've talked on this podcast before about how, you know, the Knicks don't turn the ball over a lot. It's because they're jacking threes. You know, last night against the Miami Heat, they turned the ball over 7 times. And that's because they shot 44 threes. Like, you are not – maybe you're not getting the best shot possible, but you're also not giving the ball to the other team. You're still – you're keeping possessions alive and giving your team a chance to score. And really – that's what you want as an offense. You don't want to give the ball up. You want to have a chance to score. And every shot, whether it's a two-pointer or a three-pointer, it's a chance to score.
Yes, that is true. I have a concern in terms of...
I'm also not a Knicks fan, so I don't care if it doesn't work.
Right, and that's kind of the thing is I'm just trying to figure out whether... Because it's like, if they were to shoot like this the entire year, then it's really like, well, okay, they're title contenders because they're going to be able to just... You know, if you hit all your shots, you're just going to be able to do it. They are ninth they're 25th in offensive rebound percentage.
Okay.
Okay, so they're not good at getting their own boards. And they are third, so they have the third to lowest assisted field goal percentage.
Yeah.
So, it looks like they're doing all this ball movement, but the data is kind of showing that this is who they are. They take a lot of threes off the dribble. They don't rebound them, but they're making a whole lot of them right now.
But I think you can have plenty of threes and plenty of shots that don't have assists but come off of ball movement, if that makes sense.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, I mean, I'm not saying that this is necessarily what's happening. They do take a lot off the dribble, but I think enough ball movement can get you in a position where you can take two or three dribbles to the left, to the right, wherever you need to go, and the defense is still scrambling.
Every team is going to kind of have these big runs, and they're going to have very low lows.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see in January through March what kind of a low they go through. How bad is it? Like, are they going to regress all the way? Are they going to regress to somewhere better than last year but not great? Are they going to just regress a little? That's going to be, I think, the really interesting thing to watch because we're a month and a half in. You know, we really are. We're a month and a half in. Quarterly report's coming out next week from us, next Friday. And you have to start looking at, okay, are we ready to go ahead and move the Knicks into, are they a title contender?
Yeah, that I don't know because...
Need more time on it.
It looks, I don't even know, like, let's say they play like this all season. When we get to the playoffs, I still don't know if they're a title contender. Mm. Like, that, I don't think that that's something, it's weird, it's kind of hypocritical because we don't act like this with every team, but I think that the Knicks, with the style they're choosing to play, and this isn't a knock on them but necessarily, but it's just, until you see it in the playoffs, I don't know that you can really judge whether or not that they've moved into that next tier, you know? Or I guess for them it would be, you know, moving up a couple of tiers because they weren't really there at the end of last season.
Yeah.
I loved about the strategy of just jacking 44 threes in a game is, one, it's really fun for the viewer, and two, you know, no Carmelo last night, and how many guys are you going to trust to just go off the dribble, get into the lane, and do stuff against the Miami Heat, even though their defense hasn't been good this year? That's still a tall order with guys like Wade and LeBron who are very opportunistic defenders. And so no Melo, and hey, let's jack up threes. And it worked. Like, maybe they had a plan B, maybe they didn't, I don't know. But, you know, you kind of shock the system that way of, all right, we do this well, we're going to overdo it and see what happens.
I wonder how much they saw of what the San Antonio Spurs did against them. Yeah. And how much that influenced them.
Yeah.
because that was getting your nose. It's kind of the same thing. So the real question, I think, is should the Knicks trade Carmelo Anthony?
Clearly, he's bringing the team down. I mean, 1-0 against Miami without him.
LeBron works out after the game in a very reminiscent of Kobe bit of nonsense.
I love this kind of crap.
Does Miami need to be concerned?
No.
I didn't think so, but...
No, because how many
games... Damn, man, that's two bad losses to the best team in the East right now.
How many games are Bosch and Wade going to go 6 of 25? You know? I just, like, this looks like... It's a nice win for New York. It's a frustrating loss for Miami, but it's regular season. Like, I just don't think... I think the cool thing I thought that it proved is that you still need a team around you to win in the NBA, even on most given nights. I mean, LeBron was spectacular last night. Aside from a little, you know, not great at the free throw line, but he was spectacular, and it wasn't enough. It wasn't even close to enough. And I just, you know, we too many times we forget and think, like, these guys can just do it all on their own. They can't. The NBA is too good now. Like, the talent level is too much. The strategy is too good. You can't just have one guy go off anymore and have it matter.
It's kind of the same thing as I always get mad when people are like, defense wins championships. And I'm like, look, if you're the best defensive team and you have the worst offense in the playoffs, you're still going out.
How many championships did the Bogut Milwaukee Bucks win?
Right? Like,
that was a great defensive squad.
Great defensive team. I mean, you have to have balance. It's the same thing where you need a superstar to be able to carry you, but you also have got to have other guys that can step up because you just can't. One guy's not going to score 120. And, you know, that's the kind of thing. Now, the Heat, you know, they have some excuses. They've got some guys missing, and that does help. But they fall into 18th in defensive rating.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at what point do you get concerned about it? Are you concerned now, or is it, hey, if they're not around the top 10 by February, maybe we should start worrying? Or I guess I don't know the cutoff, because I feel like especially with a team that's coming off a championship, you know, I just always believe you want to have it right by the time the playoffs start.
I'm always the one to jump to concern, and yet I've been like, well, they obviously don't care. I think it's going to be one of those where you assume that, because these things are interesting, because it's never in a big game, or there's never like a turning point. It's just teams just kind of slowly start to improve.
Right.
It'll just be, they'll go on some sort of 7-game stretch in February where it's like, oh, the defense is really looking a lot better, and then things kind of resolve themselves. I will say the only thing is you can't do this for the entire regular season.
Right.
Because you just can't, you know. As much as people want to say that the regular season doesn't matter, I've never seen a team be terrible defensively in the regular season, be worse than 15th, and then all of a sudden just be like, kaboom.
Well, I mean, there is one team that comes to mind. But this is a very special case that Miami does not have the luxury of doing, is the 2000-2001 Lakers. Right. They were 21st in defense in the regular season and then lost one game in the playoffs on the way to a championship. Now, they had, you know, prime Shaq, so that's the... And they had, an awesome Kobe Bryant. Not the best Kobe Bryant, but an awesome Kobe Bryant at the time. So that makes it a little easier.
The 2001, you said?
Yeah, 2000-2001, that season. When I think who'd they beat? They beat the Sixers.
Yeah, part of that, what I want to say, and I'm looking up some stuff as I say this, but part of it is, so they're no longer going to be facing, this Heat team will not be facing Iverson's Sixer squad with Eric Snow and...
Right.
That's the thing.
I'm saying, like, that's a very special circumstance, yeah, like, but at the same
Shaq
time...
Shaq versus the Eastern Conference back in those days.
Right.
It's a whole other deal as far as that goes. The Lakers in 2001... 19th in defensive rating.
Yeah, 19th. There you go.
Yeah, second in offense, 19th in defense, and just turned it on. So, you know, maybe that's something to look out for. I think
Maybe Joel Anthony is the new Shaq. We don't know. We just don't know.
no, we're going to sit here for a few minutes while you think. There's going to be 3 minutes of silence while we just sit here and think about what you just said. This is a timeout. We're all in a podcast timeout for having this happen. So what else is going on?
I honestly didn't watch any of Maverick's Sons, and I'm not going to. I made that promise on the podcast yesterday. Is there anything I could have learned from it?
No. The Suns are bad. The Mavericks are slightly better, but not much. They need Dirk back, but it's not going to make their defense any better. Kamen and Marion are hurt.
OJ Mayo's still shooting like 60% from three.
I'm so happy for OJ Mayo. I'm just so happy for him. I had such faith in that guy, and you know, he really struggled in Memphis, and it was just mostly like after a while you realize that it was just he and Holland just didn't get along. It just wasn't the right connection.
Here's something important. Marcin Gortat still struggling. And Michael Beasley, 9 points, 12 shots. Keeping the hope alive.
They're gonna bench Gortat and Beasley. Which, you know, Gortat has already been unhappy. Like that thing's headed for bad town. That's gonna turn into trade discussions pretty soon.
Yeah. I mean, and really, like, why not? The Suns are rebuilding. I would ship any kind of like veteran asset you have out and try to get something young or something draft picky back in return.
See, that's the whole problem is like they're rebuilding, but they didn't build a roster around a rebuilding team. They built a roster that was going to be actually try and be good. They went out and spent the money, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, this isn't working out the way that I thought it would.
You know what's kind of messed up? And granted, I understand the reasoning. Why not throw Wes Johnson out there? Wes still has fans.
He has you.
I still like him. I mean, I don't think he's good, and he is shooting 28% this season. But I just want to see
that's him. Probably a good reason not to throw him out there.
I just want to see him get some shots up.
You know, their salary situation isn't bad. They're on the books for 49.5 this year, and 45.9 next year. You know, they move Gortat. They clear 7 off the books. He expires next year. It's mostly a matter of like they've got all these little bitty contracts, but they've got little bitty contracts where people know what he wants.
Yeah.
You know, the Beasley thing was, even though it's only $6 million a year and he's only making 5.7 this year, like, man, that was a bad deal. It was just,
yeah, know, I don't, I honestly don't mind taking a flyer on him like that for that money, but 3 years that's just too long for a flyer, you know?
The problem with Beasley is if you pay for him, you have to expect stuff from him. There's guys that you can pay, and you don't have to expect anything from him.
Right.
You pay Chuck Hayes, you get good production, and nobody expects anything.
Right.
He just does a little thing. That's what's great about him. But Beasley's like the opposite, where, like, oh, look at what he can do. You know, he's able to score 40 in a game. And it's like, well, yeah, but he's going to need 750 shots.
Right. It's,
you know, just not going to work out well. I feel bad for Jared Dudley because he's such a hustle guy, and I feel bad for Shannon Brown, honestly, because he's actually been relatively okay he's been surprisingly okay. He's been one of the few guys that's been kind of there. And
is there a way we could get Gortat and Dudley on the Spurs this year? Is there a trade we could work out there? Because that would be fun.
God, Gortat and Clint Duncan, that's where he needs to be.
Yeah.
I always said I was a big Gortat fan back when he was in Orlando because I wanted him to play next to Dwight, because I always wanted Dwight to play next to a traditional power forward.
Yeah.
I always thought that would help him with having somebody to clean up the rebounds and just, you know, take a little bit of the attention off to just not let the other guy come over and rotate. Of course, we've seen how that's working out with Pau Gasol, but still, you know, theoretically, with more of a traditional, you know, kind of grinder big, it might work a little bit better.
Right.
Dudley, yeah, would be really great on the Spurs. He would do really well there.
Yeah, just both guys seem like perfect fits for that Spurs culture and what they need.
Too bad that the Spurs have made, I think, one trade in like 5 years, so at like the deadline. So
yeah,
not counting the deal for Kawhi. So yeah, they're kind of sunk. What else is going on?
Speaking of sunk, Eric Gordon's knees still not playing. Still no timetable.
No timetable on this kid.
That is just weird.
It was weird. I made the comment, and so the Hornets kind of talked to the media yesterday and said there's no timetable for his return, but his quads are at 65%.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Like, and the idea is that well, his quads are getting stronger, so he's going to be, you know, his knees will be feeling better because his quads are stronger. And I'm like, but his quads weren't the, you know, that wasn't what was hurting him.
Right.
And so it's, you have to tell me his knees aren't hurting as much. Don't tell me his quads are at 65%. Tell me his soreness has gone down, or he feels like he's getting closer, or this, that, or the other. But as
he's going to start, say he's going to start doing like light contact drills, or you know, he's going to be on Top Chef or something, some kind of progress.
He's going to be on Top Chef. I would pay so much money to watch NBA players on Top Chef.
Oh, it'd be great.
Gortat's another one. I would love to see Gortat on Top Chef.
Just like they're giving the product. It's like, oh, squid, and they're like, all right, now what have I seen at the Cheesecake Factory that has squid in it?
J.R. Smith made 17 soufflés in 5 minutes. he's missing 4 fingers, but
12 of them caught on fire.
Right. But with Gordon, there's another question. When do you panic?
I think that, I don't know, I just, you know, I defended the Chris Paul side of the trade. Like, it was weird that there were Clippers fans that were mad at the time that Eric Gordon was included in the deal for Chris Paul. Right. And they're like, you know, we're getting this, we had to give up Gordon, and we're getting this, you know, injury-riddled guy. And it's like, you know, and I've pointed out before, and many people pointed out, it's like, well, actually, Gordon missed more games the 3 years before the trade than Chris Paul did. And that was with Chris Paul having a major injury. Like, this guy's hurt all the time. And I get the Hornets saying, like, hey, we need this guy. Put him next to Anthony Davis. Like, this is our core. And that's why they matched the offer sheet that Phoenix gave him. But you have to know going in, like, this guy is always injured. And from their standpoint, you know, I'm sure they took that into account. And I'm sure they have a certain threshold of him missing so many games before they start feeling like this, like they need to get rid of him. But, you know, what trade? I mean, I guess there would be a trade market for him because he's a young player who's very good when he's healthy, and the contract isn't that bad. I don't know what the solution to the problem is. I don't think naming themselves the Pelicans is going to help this.
That will not help them at all. That will not help them in any way, shape, or form.
Unless he's a huge Bird fan.
Man, and people are coming around, and this is what always happens, is there's the initial outrage, which is, oh my God, this is terrible. And for some reason, people feel the need to be like, when you really look at it, it's not a bad... No, it's just a bad name. This isn't something, some sort of deep contextual... There's not hidden value in this. It's the Pelicans. No! I don't care how scary birds are. It's a pelican.
They are terrifying.
Yeah, but
you've seen the video. I mean, it's viral. You've seen the video of a pelican just walking up to a pigeon and eating it whole, and the wings of the pigeon are flapping as it goes down the gullet.
It's especially disappointing because they couldn't get the rights to the other name. It turns out they were going to get the voodoo.
The what?
The voodoo.
Oh, voodoo. Yeah. Yeah, that's the magic.
People, here's something I've been surprised at. You and I are both on a thread for a blog network, and, like, people really think the Thunder sucks.
Honestly, if you look at all of them, they all suck. It's a weird thing that, like, you can't just call them the San Francisco team. You have to call them the Golden State Warriors. You know, having a mascot, it's all marketing, I get that, but there really isn't. There isn't a name out there that I'm just like, oh, this is awesome. Like, oh, Celtics, there's a little Irish guy. Like, that's fantastic. Like, right. Nothing embodies Kevin Garnett like a little Irish guy.
I feel like there's two schools of thought. You're either a traditionalist, which means you want basically teams that make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
With any sort of relevant, like, you just like it because it's classic. Like, oh, the Sixers and the Celtics and the Lakers. And I'm like, yeah, when I think of a Celtic, I think of Kevin Garnett. That's what comes into my mind. Is Kevin Garnett?
I couldn't tell you. You could give me 100 guesses. I couldn't tell you what a Knickerbocker is. I have no idea.
It's pants. That's what I know it is. Like, you know.
And so, and that's the thing. I hate pants.
You do hate pants. That is correct.
Yeah, and you know the whole Lakers. There are no lakes in LA, and all that crap. Like, I just. you know, you could pick the Virginia doorstops and everyone would be up in arms, and then you would find a marketing ploy for it and an action plan for getting merchandise out, and people would be fine. Like, I do agree in 10 to 15 years, no one's going to care that it's the Pelicans. But it's still, I don't know. You're marketing to kids with a giant scary bird. I can't get into that. That's worked for Sesame Street and nobody else.
I feel like you could... Nicely done. I feel like you could... There are some I think could work. Like, I actually kind of wish it was like the Los Angeles Stars or something. I don't know. Is that their WNBA team?
Sparks,
that's right. Yeah. But like the Los Angeles Stars, like that kind of goes with the whole image. It makes kind of sense, and everybody wants to be a star, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, like Lindsay Lohan. And so
the Los Angeles 30-day house arrest.
The Dallas Mavericks. Like, that makes sense. San Antonio. Honestly, the Texas teams I think have done it well.
Yeah. Right?
Like the Houston Rockets. Like that makes sense. That's got a strong connection. Rockets are powerful.
I'm more of a Chaps man than a Spurs man, so San Antonio Chaps would be. I mean, Chap is a fellow, and you know that makes more sense to me than a Spur.
I think more of a Chaps fan is gonna have to be the name of the podcast. That's gonna have to be what we go with.
Okay, that's done and done.
I like bird names. I like the Atlanta Hawks. I think that I don't like the old. The old logo with the feather, I do actually like the new logo. I think looks cool.
Yeah.
The Sacramento Kings, that one obviously has got dating back to Kansas City and then Rochester. I like that one. Kings is a strong name. I don't think that they're all terrible. But of the ones I'm ranking, Pelicans is going to be the worst. I don't understand any argument against it. And also, I do feel like this, not to get into a whole like, East Coast bias thing, but here's one big deal. I feel like anybody that doesn't think the Thunder is a good name has never, ever, ever, ever seen a tornado.
why are there no tornadoes?
That's a good question.
You telling me there shouldn't be the Orlando tornadoes? Do they have tornadoes in Orlando? They just have hurricanes.
I think the biggest reason you can't do it in Oklahoma is because there's too many people that have actually lost their homes to it. Like,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
If you've been in one, and that's the thing, I asked them, like, well, have you been in a tornado? And they're like, well, no. I'm like, I've not been, but have you seen one? I'm like, no. I'm like, okay, then it'd be like me talking about a hurricane. I've never been in one. I have no interest in seeing one. I have no interest in being in the middle of one. But I have no way to know the awesome power that is nature's fury during a hurricane. I have seen a ton of tornadoes in my time.
I got hit in the head with a big chunk of hail once. That sucked.
Tornadoes are terrifying. They are just...
Well, I've seen Twister 100 times. I mean, you don't have to tell me. You scare Bill Paxton, you scare me.
I do want to, real quickly, I brought this up on Wikipedia. So, technically, Knickerbocker, the first thing is the surname that dates back to the early settlers of New Netherland and was popularized by Washington Irving in 1809 when he published his satirical A History of New York. However, it also refers to men or boys' baggy knee trousers.
Yeah.
Really,
the New York Knickerbockers, they were in on this whole like Fab Five baggy shorts thing early.
Yeah,
they really had some foresight there. That's really impressive. I think they deserve to be title contenders just because of that.
Wouldn't it be awesome if we just called them the New York Pants? It's Pants versus Pelicans tonight on TNT. So tonight's games.
Jesus. That was about 8 minutes of everyone's life they'd like back.
Let's start with Spurs Rockets.
Sure. Go Spurs.
You know, I think it'll be interesting to see kind of what they do with Harden. Their defense has gotten a lot better, and I'm waiting for them to see. The next month is going to be crucial for whether I buy into the Spurs as a defensive unit or not. And even without Jackson and Kawhi, I really want to see what they do against Harden. Because they're such a good transition defense team, and that's where Harden gets all his points.
Yeah. I had this question with Beckley Mason and Ethan Sherwood-Strauss yesterday. Do you think Manu is really regressing, or do you think he's just going to need another month and then he'll be good?
I've buried the guy like 5 times, so I don't feel qualified to answer this question.
Okay.
I will say, I think that it's probably going to be one of those things. It'll be like Pierce, and it's going to annoy me because you'll look at the information and you'll watch a lot of the games, and you'll be like, "Well, he's passed. You know, he's slit. He's regressed, and he's just not the guy that he used to be." And then he'll have one of those games, and every Spurs fan in the entire universe will simultaneously get on Twitter and reply at me.
Yep.
And say, "Does he look regressing now?" And I will say, "Well, you have to wait till next game because." You know, he'll have these fantastic games, and then he has an off one.
Yeah.
But I will say, last year's playoffs was kind of the first time that I've ever seen him really outclassed, and he was outclassed by Harden.
Yeah, but I mean, here's my reasoning for why I think he's slow, is he had a long off season with the Olympics, you know, and we see that quite a bit with guys. And I don't see why he would be any different, especially at his age. And I just think, like, I mean, he's not going to be 2007 Manu Ginobili, but I think that I still think he's going to be one of the better shooting guards in the league come March and April.
I think he can be fantastic. I think that's part of it is they're gearing the offense to where he's able to be fantastic in little bitty spurts on little bitty moments.
Yeah.
Because I will say this, he physically I don't think can hold up because he keeps getting injured.
I agree with that.
You know, shoulders and knees and thigh. Like he gets banged up a lot now, and it's a physical style for a guy his age to play.
Yeah,
with the way that he plays, and so I think it's kind of in the middle. I don't think that he's done. I don't think that he's useless. I think that he's still going to be very effective for them, and he'll have those moments where you're just like Manu, Manu, and he'll have those things. But I think in general, your concern with the Spurs is no longer man, Manu Ginobili's going to kill us. It's the system.
This has nothing to do with what you just said. Should all mascots be animals? Because
no,
I'm thinking, because I was thinking, I was like, all right, do I like the Timberwolves mascot? Not like the actual mascot, but just like Timberwolves. Do I like that? And I was thinking, like, Timber is kind of unnecessary. Like, it should just be called the Wolves. And right. Then I was thinking, all right, Wolves, Bulls, like, these are relatively can be predatory, destructive creatures. I'm kind of into that.
Sorry, did you just call a bull predatory?
Well, like, if you know, show them a red cape. They'll come after you?
If they're trained, yes. It's not like if you walk up to a steer and throw red in front of him, he's going to charge you.
Disagree. I've seen it in many a cartoon. but I'm saying, like, these are animals that can do damage to you. And I guess if a hawk is big enough, you get, like, a 30-pound hawk, that thing could do some damage.
Grizzlies,
yeah. See, now maybe they should all just be really ferocious animals or destructive
Bobcats.
Animals. That's
Bobcats,
all.
Though.
We mountain lions? No, mountain lions. I know there's like a UFL team, Sacramento Mountain Lions.
I think where I'm at is I'm okay if it's not a nonsense word, if it's something kind of benign, as long as it's got some sort of connection to the city. It's why the Lakers bug me so much because I'm just, I grew up around lakes, man. Like, come on, Don't be.
What should they be? The Coyotes? Are there Coyotes just outside of L.A.? I think there are.
What should they be? They should be the Los Angeles Streetwalkers. That's what they should be.
The Los Angeles, hey, I work at Starbucks. Could you read my script?
The Los Angeles aspiring actresses.
The Los Angeles, I'm just doing this to pay for medical school. All right, we can get back to tonight's games. That was in my head.
The big one is Lakers Thunder.
Yeah, that should be just a feces storm.
Royce Young for CBSSports.com will be there tonight. He'll have a story off of it. He'll have a column on the Lakers tomorrow, depending on how they look. You know.
I'm waiting for Steve Nash. I feel like I'm waiting for Godot, you know? Like, it's hard for me to really keep looking at this team in a analytical way without him out there, and maybe that's going to be a problem. Maybe he won't be out there that much this season, which is an issue, but I just have a hard time.
Dexter Fishmore of SilverScreenAndRoll.com flipped out on me for this because I said, I'm trying really hard not to mention the fact that Steve Nash and Grant Hill have played 2 combined games this season after leaving Phoenix.
Yeah.
And he showed the video and was like, he got stepped on his leg and broke it. What could Phoenix have done to fix that? And I'm just like, their guys come back fast. Like, that's the other thing. It's not just that they don't get hurt often. It's when they do get hurt, like, they get back. You know, it's...
And who's the Lakers trainer? Gary Vitti? Is that right?
Yeah. Which there's a big debate about whether their training staff is really good or not. I always go back to... I've seen multiple players choose not to go with their stuff. Not just Bynum, but there have been others that have chosen not to go with their staff and just seek out their own independent counseling. Anytime a player's like, no, I'll pay for my own medical care.
Yeah. Here's the weird thing, though, is I wonder how much that is, like, paranoid agent-driven.
Yeah.
And you know, people were complaining about the Timberwolves training staff when the Timberwolves got all these injuries and stuff. And I just think, like, as fans, as pundits, like, we don't really have any idea. I mean, we know the Suns have Warlocks on their training staff. Like, that is a fact. But other than that, like, we really don't know the practices of the training staff to either prevent or help rehabilitate injuries. And I just, like, it's just a weird conversation to get into. Like, we're, not, one, none of us are doctors. And two, like, we have personal experiences with certain injuries. Like, you know, I've had knee injuries and now I've got an ankle injury and had concussions, but I don't really know the proper way to deal with it. You know, like, who knows that if I got proper medical care, who knows if they're getting proper medical care. Like, I just, that's such a weird and tricky situation to get into. I do agree. Like, it does seem kind of odd that those guys have played two games once they leave Phoenix and guys go to Phoenix and everything's fine for them. But
Valley of the Suns actually had a really great...
From last season, they've got a great post on the practices of that training staff.
It is the Bible of kind of what everyone should be doing.
Yeah. But
I think it's interesting to see. Lakers have any shot tonight? I mean, that's the thing.
Oh, sure.
It looks like the Thunder's going to kill them, so I'm kind of expecting the Lakers to win.
I think the Lakers have a definite shot. They're still really good. You know, I know the record's not good. They have very good players, and I think they can be competitive. And if you can be competitive, you can get that to a final minute where Kobe Bryant can lose it for you.
Let's say that you're Pau Gasol, okay? And let's ignore for a second your instincts to be a competitor and to work hard and fight till the end. And let's say you're, I lost my train of thought. Completely.
All right, I'm a tall Spanish man.
Oh, you're a tall Spanish man. Let's ignore the competitive nature.
Yeah.
Do you sit out this game because you don't want to deal with the ramifications if you suck and Kobe's mad? I do. I'll go ahead and say it right now. I'm ducking Kobe. I'm going to be like, nope, not feeling good. Sorry.
I wouldn't, just because I feel like, in a way, you're auditioning for a team that might trade for you, and maybe that's what you want.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to be traded.
If he got away from that situation and took a week, he might realize that it's a pretty good thing for him.
He loves LA, though.
Well, sure, everybody loves LA.
I don't.
Sure, everybody but you loves LA. I wouldn't duck it. I think that, you know, it's hard to take the competitive thing out of the equation, but he's accomplished enough on an international scale and at the NBA level where I don't think he should be worried about Kobe being mad at him. Like, he's on the chopping block anyway, right? So what does he have to lose?
His life. one last, I got a dog pick for you. Hawks are 6-9 against the spread. They're favored by 9 versus the Wizards, who are fresh off a big victory over the Heat.
That's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. What do you think? I think the Wizards might sneak under on this one.
The Wizards have been bad on the road? Is that true?
They've been bad all over, man. They have 2 wins.
Well, sure, but...
What are you asking me? The Wizards have been bad on the road?
No, because I'm trying to figure out, like, how much worse they've been. I almost used the word batter. How much worse they've been. They've been so much cake batter on the road. Here we go. I've got it right here. This is excellent podcasting. I mean, they are 0-7 on the road. They're minus 10.5 or no, minus 10.2 differential, net differential on the road, and minus 6.7 at home. So that 9 points sounds about right.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be one to watch, I think. So,
I mean, on average, they're not going to cover that game, correct?
On average, that is correct. They're not going to cover that game.
Yeah. Bet your house on the Hawks.
Oh, Bobcat, it's Kitty's Bucks tonight.
That is, I'm excited to watch Kemba and Jennings play.
Bobcats are now, I think they've lost five in a row, and they're getting seven from the first in Milwaukee. So they're kind of in a spiral they need to pull out. They've been close losses. They've been competitive. But
yeah, but those close losses can also, you know, I think you want competitive losses, but that can also kill confidence.
Yep.
And I don't think you're going to kill Kemba's confidence, but everyone else on the team, you know, that's a tricky situation.
Have fun with the Cavaliers tonight.
Yeah, Ricky not going to play. There were talks that he was going to play. His conditioning just isn't there. But he's got 4 days off until the next game, Wednesday against the Nuggets here. I think we might see the return of the kid.
And we'll all wait for that.
Yep. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.
One final note, just to let you know, we are going to start doing our Pick and Troll podcast sack of emails Monday. You can email any question you have for myself or Matt to Zach, Z-A-C-H, Harper@cbsinteractive.com. We will answer it on the show in probably an incompetent, yet maybe hilarious manner.